Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined today by Todd, who's here to talk with us about his experience of participating in the 5 Mile Challenge. Welcome, Todd.
Hi, welcome. Hi, Anna.
Glad you made it.
Happy to be here. Yeah, me too.
Thank you for being here and persevering.
Oh, thanks.
So let me give a couple of words of background on the 5 Mile Challenge. So this year there hasn't been an official bridge walk campaign. Life has unfolded it. And the way that life has unfolded it is in the form of this 5 Mile Challenge, which started with Sherry setting herself the challenge of walking 5 miles a day until she reached 300 miles and inviting folks to sponsor her to raise funds for Cantalumba. And folks in Sangha were given the opportunity to come up with their own challenge and then, if they wanted to make that available so that people could pledge and sponsor them. And Todd, you were one of the people who said yes to that invitation, right?
I did. I did say yes to that. It was, go ahead. Very inspiring.
Very inspiring. So maybe you could tell us what you've been seeing. What's it been like?
It's been great. There's been so many gifts. Just quickly, the content is my challenge. It dropped in a couple weeks into the support. We had a radio show, or we had a show every week, a support call. Mm-hmm. And halfway through that 4 or 6 week support call, it dropped in that I'd like to do something similarly, but to walk or hike in my area it's winter and there's a couple feet of snow on the ground. And life said, well, you know, why don't we snowshoe every day?
Mm-hmm.
And see if we can get in. I didn't know at the time because there wasn't any snow on the ground, but 7,500 steps or strides seemed manageable. And I made a commitment to do that for 2 months, 60 days, and hopefully hit 450,000 steps.
Fabulous. So the winter version of the 5 Mile Challenge. Uh-huh.
Right. The winter version. And the greatest gift was the incredible support of Sangha and knowing that perhaps my little contribution would raise some funds and I could also support my own project for the folks in Cantalumba. And to go up against some really strong beliefs and assumptions that this person hates winter because I have 4 full seasons here and there's a four months of winter. And I was talked into believing I hated winter, and this was an opportunity to go out and embrace winter every day in its glory and, you know, brilliance, and snowshoe for Africa a couple hours every day.
How fabulous to go beyond that limitation in the head and actually to embrace winter in real life, right? To get to have your own experience of it, to get out there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I heard the same karma that I work with all the time. Every afternoon I scheduled it for support, and I would hear, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, you know, we can do it tomorrow, and I just went through that resistance and used structures of practice. I text my commitment buddy every morning and tell my buddy that I was going to snowshoe for Africa every afternoon and then report back that evening, and that structure and support along with the 5 Mile Challenge support calls and even my reflective listening buddy calls weekly with another support. And I managed to meet and exceed the goals and challenge I set.
To meet and exceed the goal. And sounds like calling on all support, right? So we had the fabulous weekly group coaching call for the 5 Mile Challenge, and then you were also using the commitment buddy support reflective listening, and sounds like a daily group coaching of one with the mentor on the recorder, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I had recording and listening every morning. I was part of my recording and listening to set that intention for the day and to talk about the previous day's snowshoe experience and how wonderful it was and the vistas we saw and the snow conditions, and we were running into wildlife and other folks out there. And it was really, and I just got back. So even though the challenge had ended and I reported in, there's still momentum, and I'm going to continue to do it as long as there's snow on the ground.
Yes. What I'm hearing, Todd, is so calling on all that support to go beyond that resistance, right? and to do that for the love of the project in Cantalumba, and also to go that extra step, pun not intended, of inviting folks to pledge and sponsor you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really fun to see that posted on the website and to see other people. In fact, today there was a reminder and I went and supported a lot of other folks doing their challenges as I feel folks maybe supported my challenge. So it was really a win-win all around.
Yes. Yes. Truly a win-win all around, that you then got to see other people's challenges up there and pledge and support them. And it's a beautiful page, isn't it, on the website where folks can read the write-ups of everybody's challenges and can make a pledge to sponsor that person with their challenge. And the way to find that is, if folks haven't been there already, to go to livingcompassion.org, click on the Africa Project part of the wheel, and then go to the Get Involved tab at the top of that page. And then there's the 2020 Bridge Walk, all the challenges, all the inspiring challenges. As you said, to get to see your challenge up there and to see see them all. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there were even a couple days where I would go back to that. I'd have that link in my email reminders, and I'd go back to that link just to remind myself and get re-inspired by the other folks, what they were doing, and to see the guides challenge put out there, which was the first call from life to participate. So that even kind of cut through some resistance where I could even use that as a support and resource page throughout the project that I was involved in.
Yes, but that was a support too, huh? To see, first of all, to see our own challenge up there. Well, it's up there,
I've made
that
it's
commitment. And as you say, to receive the support of all that momentum from everybody participating in their challenges. Yeah, so
right. Yeah, because everyone's content was different, but what I saw was the process of saying yes to life and participating was the same for everyone, and that's what I used to keep my momentum going through the 2 months that I committed to.
Yes, that's that resonance with authenticity, isn't it? That, as you say, the content of people's challenges was different, and the process in them was yes to life.
Yeah,
and how inspiring
exactly.
That was. Yeah.
Very inspiring.
Yeah, truly. Well, Todd, we're getting close to the top of the hour. And as we wrap up, I just want to let folks know that tomorrow is actually the last day that folks can pledge to sponsor a challenge. So we've given folks the way to find the page if folks are so inspired. Tomorrow's the last day to do that.
Oh, great. Well, I'll revisit it one more time and see if I can and make some more pledges to some more folks.
Absolutely. We'll go back and keep on getting inspired, huh?
Keep going back and getting re-inspired, absolutely. And just thanks again to all of Sangha and all the, I think Sherry said it many times, the outrageous support that were offered. And I really couldn't have done it without all the support of Sangha and practice. So a deep gassho and gratitude for all that.
Yeah, deep gassho and gratitude all around, huh?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Anna.
And we'll have the show back. Go happy.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll hand the show back to Michael.
Wonderful. Thank you, Anna, and thank you, Todd. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. Great to be here.
Great. Wonderful. And great to hear about the Africa Project again.
So good. That's so good. I love the poetry of snowshoeing for Africa.
Yes, I had a chuckle too when I heard that.
Perfect. I love it. Oh my gosh. It's just so fun. And we, as Anna and Todd were saying, we're really winding down. We're in the very, very last phase of it. So yeah, a chance for people to hop on and to sponsor those challenges. And I just can't wait for when we get the we're going to get a report from each person who finished their challenge. You know, we're going to get those sponsorships in. We're going to get to report on the success of the whole thing. So, you know, as we're winding down, the rest of it is kind of coming to light where we get the final report, which I think will be really fun. And that's going to go out to all of Sangha, too. So we'll all get to share in that.
Oh, that's fabulous. Jen, can I give out the web address again? Because the projects are so fun. So if folks go to livingcompassion.org, this is just repeating what Anna said a minute ago, go to livingcompassion.org and then click on the Africa Project. And then the first tab at the top there is Get Involved, and then it's 2020 Bridge Walk under the menu there. So great.
Exactly. Yep, that's how to find it. And also, for anyone who got the email today, in their inbox, actually two emails, Michael, because we accidentally said in the first one that there were 2,038 children in Cantalumba in the nutrition program, and there's actually 1,038, so that's the number that we aspire to. But at any rate, either of those emails had a link in them with that will take you to the challenges page to sponsor.
Oh, great. Many ways to find it.
Many ways to find it.
Yes, all roads lead to compassion, so that's great.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I have a couple of announcements here, unless you have something else to share with us.
I also have an announcement, so when you finish yours, I'll say mine.
Okay. If you are already meditating in the morning or wish to start, enjoy the extra support of meditating with Sangha with the virtual meditation groups. The 30-minute conference call meditation sessions happen 7 days a week. And then I just have the summary one, Jen, so if you want to go ahead now, that would be great.
Okay, just that Sherry's newsletter article is going to be coming out soon.
Okay.
And so for folks to watch for that, because it is going to really assist us with what we're looking at in the email class and also the year-long retreat. So for people to keep a heads up about watching for that newsletter article to come out.
Okay, great. And I assume that'll be in our email inbox is where it'll show up.
Exactly. And which is a good announcement for anyone who's, you know, brand new and listening for the first time or isn't on our email list, that you can also go to the website and get on our email list so that you do get those notifications.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And for a complete schedule and for other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to get in the queue today to talk with Jen, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. Okay, Jen, I think we are ready to go now.
Excellent.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ann.
Hi, Ann.
Hey. So, this is my first time to call in.
Welcome. Lovely to have you.
Thank you. So, I am noticing that the deeper I go with my practice and the more clarity I have, the tighter ego's grip becomes. And I know how this works. I've seen it before. But this time, the idea that I'm distracted by is super scary and feels crippling. I've recorded and listened. I've done a process map.
All the things you know to do.
Yeah. And
so, can I see if I'm with you, Ann?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
If I'm with you so far. So, in other words, you've been practicing long enough that you get it, that there's a correlation between as you get more clear and you see how suffering is happening, then the voices basically ramp up and they want to really tighten down. And so you know that. And so it sounds like you're in that right now, that that's what's happening. And what feels like this time is that it's really, sometimes we say, bringing out the big guns. And the thing that it's distracting you with feels really scary. And so it sounds like harder to take that step back that you know to take.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to redirect my attention or support myself. It's like, it's almost like an obsessive thought. And what's interesting is there's like beauty. I almost have to give you like the what's but there's like a beautiful side to it. And then like a deadly side. Mm-hmm. And I see that also, that's where I'm getting tricked, you know, because it's something that my attention could go to the beauty or it could go to death, you know, worst case scenario. Uh-huh. Oh, and another piece is like logically I can see that I won't do this thing or this thing won't happen, but but ego says, well, you could sleepwalk and it could happen. So it's like all of the, you know.
And so, and as you said, it's
a big gun.
Exactly. So, and it's obsessive with it, right? So it sounds like every time you have your attention on the beauty, which I'm guessing is where you want the attention to be, it's hammering you with the other side. Mm-hmm. Well, but you could sleepwalk. I mean, that could happen. That's the way it could happen. And so it just keeps coming back, just keeps coming back, just keeps coming back.
And it's almost like when the sleepwalking idea comes, it's like you could go unconscious. And I want to say, well, I've been unconscious. Like now I'm actually like, I'm awake, you know? It wants to make me small again.
Yeah.
And, but I just, when it gets so obsessive, I just don't know what to do.
Yeah. And Anne, I think you mentioned that you've done recording and listening with it. And is it, are you familiar with reassurances with that practice?
Remind me.
So, and sometimes, let me ask you another question. Are you familiar with the two-handed recording?
Yes.
Okay. So, for anyone who might not be, in the two-handed recording, essentially that part of you who is really struggling with all of this would get to say everything she wants to say, and then the recorder goes in the left hand where you get to listen back to all of that. And then we allow life, the mentor, there are lots of words we could put there to respond. And from what you're talking about, Anne, this is a really, really hard place. And so, you know, I often, in situations like this, I think of someone in my life who is very dear to me and someone who I don't have any trouble having unconditional love for, right? So whoever might be in that slot, and it might even be a four-legged someone, right? Mm-hmm. And going to that place of, okay, if that person who I love so much and I know there's nothing wrong with them and, you know, I know they struggle with all the things they struggle with in their life, but they were going through this, what would I want to say to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's that kind of that reassurance place, because at least in my experience, there are places where we're not going to be able to quote fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's just, who knows why some things get us like this so strongly and in a way that seem to just keep dragging the attention back to the place we don't want it to be, back to the place we don't want it to be. And is it that place where, well, this is an opportunity to really stay with it, even though it feels like it keeps being hard, it keeps being hard, it keeps being hard, in the same way we would with someone in our life we love who is going through something really hard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so stay with it. Oh, ooh. I just want to avoid it.
Yeah,
and I know that's not the answer. I know acceptance and allowing, but I've had this image of like a bucket in the corner, and like when those thoughts come in, just like put it in the bucket,
so that I can live over here. It can still like be in the room, but
which would be great if that would work, right?
It doesn't stay in the bucket.
It doesn't stay in the bucket. It doesn't cooperate with our plan, which is the hard thing. And that's the place where you've used the word acceptance a number of times. That to me, that's it, right? And the acceptance for all of it, the acceptance that I wish it wasn't this way, the acceptance that I wish it would stay in its bucket, the acceptance that it's really hard, all of that.
Yeah, it's a lot easier when it's someone, like I have this situation with my daughter. She's afraid of like monsters in the house, and you know, logically I can tell her there's no monsters in the house, but so what I thought what would help her, and I just told her she was safe and we would take care of her, and you know, not dismiss that there's no monsters in the house, because that doesn't help.
Yes.
But so I say the same thing to myself, like I'm safe, nothing's going to happen, I'm grounded, I'm smart enough not to do this thing, or you know, but
and I'll be with you no matter what, whatever happens, right? I'll be here. Because same thing with your daughter, right? Are there monsters in the house? No. But does that mean nothing's ever going to happen to her that won't be painful and hard? No. But we can be with her.
So if I'm with myself enough, I won't be afraid of this thing.
that is where we want to go, right? That's the, I mean, that's the way I project the voice then tries to pull it back around to the conditional, right? Okay, but I just want to get over this thing. But it's like if you take it back to your daughter, you know, if she was afraid of the monsters again the next day, what would you do? You'd be with her. You'd reassure her. And she's afraid of the monsters again the next day. You'd reassure her. You'd be with her. And she's afraid of the monsters again the day after that. You'd be with her. You'd reassure her.
It's just such a,
I project many of us are in a place, it's such an interesting time right now. There's so much going on, and a lot of, what triggers fear for people. And so it does feel like there is that opportunity to really be with ourselves through all of it, which doesn't mean it makes it comfortable or, you know, how we want it to go, or, but we can practice being with ourselves in it. You mentioned that there were those that you really see that there is a beauty in it, and that that's the place that you're practicing bringing attention. That's that same process.
Okay. I think I just need to live with the recorder in my hand.
Oh, amen. That's it. I mean, because that can be the other place, and that can end up being a gift of these places, is that it, you know, there are a lot of times in our lives where it's not obvious how high the stakes are. It seems like, well, I can just go unconscious for a little while. And then there are places where we don't really have that luxury. And we get it that we need to be here every moment. And what we can often find out in a time like that is, wow, and that's actually how I want to live, is to be here in every moment.
Yeah, and the upside to all of this is that I called in to the radio show for the first time, and
I'm
like I said before, I feel like my world is getting bigger and I'm happier overall. And so there's an upside to it. And,
That's
I don't know how to
big
put it in
upside.
Words, really.
Oh, that's beautifully put. That's beautifully put. And I don't know if you've already made that recording, Anne, but that would be a perfect recording to make, because that's nothing short of miraculous. I mean, the voices work on us the way you're describing they're working on you now in order to make our lives smaller, mm-hmm. right? Most of us will go into survival mode. Okay, fine, I'll give you whatever you want. Just, you know, get smaller, close down. And you're doing the opposite. You're practicing with it. You're looking at it. You're calling into the show. And your life's getting bigger and happier, which doesn't, again, does not translate to, therefore, the voices don't come after me, quite the opposite, which is what you started with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks for calling in to talk about that. That's really important.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. And Jen, what continued to come up for me throughout the conversation was the courage and the willingness to call in and talk about these issues that we all struggle with.
Yep.
And especially you mentioned that idea of being with ourselves no matter what, unconditionally. It's just so powerful.
And with those ones that just keep coming back again mm-hmm. and again and again and again. Yep.
Yes, yes,
yep.
Yes, definitely. And we have another caller here.
All right, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Jen. It's Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, very similar to the last caller, working on a process map about aversion to the unknown and unfamiliar.
The unknown and unfamiliar, and process mapping that.
Right. And so where I am with that, a lot like the last call in a lot of ways, but so if there's an endeavor or a little trip or some place or something new that's unknown and unfamiliar, then, you know, ego has this nasty, ego fear has this nasty trick of projecting, you know, a really convincing, it's going to be awful movie in my head. It's not a conversation, mm-hmm. but it's like a movie, you know, and just enough to like, oh, yes. And, and it's just so, you know, every flavor and shade of awful to the point of, oh man, I'm just going to, you know, quit or cancel mm-hmm. or, and so my practice is I have to stay with that. It's okay. We're together. It's all that matters. It's okay. We're together. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, as the days leading up to this unknown and unfamiliar experience go by, and you know, there the movie and the movie of awfulness in my mind's eye is getting really charged up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So it's very similar, as you say, to the last caller. So you're completely clear on the process. You know this process. It sounds like you've been through it before. And you know what the work is also. You know what you want to be practicing, which is, okay, yep, the voice says what it says. And so I just keep reminding, it's okay, we're together. I'm right here with you. Whatever happens, we're together. And that you keep redirecting attention to that as that horror story wants to keep going and keep grabbing your attention.
Right. And the thing I've noticed that maybe you can, you have an encouragement for is that I have recordings that, you know, this is what's going to happen when there's unknown and unfamiliar, and this is what ego is going to say about it, and this is how it's going to, you know, project it. It's going to be awful, the whole, you know, being on the road and the driving and the whatever, and none of it is ever true. But no matter, and I have recordings that remind me that, but it's just the movie of awfulness is so convincing. It always feels, yeah. Even though I know this is, again, that thing that's never true ever, it feels yeah. like, oh, it's just, I better quit right now. I better cancel right now.
Yeah. And the funny part is, mm-hmm. sorry, go ahead. It's almost.
Well, I noticed that the person who originally had the idea, like, oh, let's go do this new thing, or they wanted to move beyond or have a new and different experience, they almost by the end of the process map are getting demonized, like, What was I thinking? Well, this was a terrible
idea.
Look
what you have caused. We now have an avalanche of self-hate on us, all because you had this great idea.
Right? Yeah, but, and it's almost that one seems to be, I get confused, and that one is the problem, the one who wanted to do this. Yeah. Like, what kind of crazy masochist wants it? What's the map? And it's like, wait a minute. No, they're not, I don't want them to get demonized just because they had a vision of going beyond the familiar and the known and having a new experience, but they tend to get demonized.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things as you say all of that, Elizabeth. One is, you know, it's such an interesting place when we really get in that, at least this is true for me, when we get in that place where I don't even know which way is up, right? Because this voice says that and this voice says that and, oh, you know, we're thrown into a duality and that can be a really great place for a two-handed recording, right? So, you know, so for example, in normal times, taking a trip is one thing, right? And all those things, sounds like this process has come up for you, you know, with lots of trips. And then you add a worldwide pandemic. Okay, now we've got a whole other layer of things. Okay, well, let's do a two-handed recording and let's revisit to see, you know, what makes sense right now. And so we do a two-handed recording around all of that, right? But one of the things that's so interesting to me in what you're saying is that what you're describing is that the torture that the voice is saying is going to happen on the trip is happening now in the anticipation of the trip. Yeah.
The day of the trip is always fine. I'm on a little adventure with my husband. We are having fun. But yeah, it's torture, present torture being projected about the future.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And you know, one of the things that feels like has been such a gift in practice lately, Elizabeth, I don't know if you've noticed this too, but is the redirect of attention back to, so let's say, for example, the voice starts in on da-da-da, right? Oh, God, it's going to be terrible, and that car ride, and then what were you thinking anyway, even to have this idea in the first place? You know, that's all going on, right? And so then there's that place of, okay, I have recordings for this. I know this. Gosh, I know this. Why am I not able to get out of this? Because I know this process, but I still feel like, so there's all of that. And then there's that place of, tell me about the trip. What are you most excited about? What are we going to see? Oh, look at the sky. Isn't that a beautiful sky right now? Gosh, it's so gorgeous. Oh, and the temperature of the air on the skin. Right, so there's so we become that which can assist ourselves to redirect attention to what's actually happening here.
Once the day of the trip and the unknown experience is unfolding, yes, I can be present like that. But up until it's okay, we're together. That's all that matters. Like nonstop.
Well, and it might be fun to practice. Because that's really interesting, isn't it? That the day the trip comes, I project part of why that happens is that then when the trip comes, you're on the trip and you're present on the trip. And of course, when we're present, we're not in that conversation and we're not suffering regardless of what's happening, which I know you know from your own practice. So it might be fun to practice even leading up to the trip. So, you know, 5 days before it's doing its torture thing. And you'd redirect attention to what's happening right now in this moment in your day today.
Oh, what's happening right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was like kind of staying on the recording. It's okay, we're together. That's all that matters. Kind of hanging on to that for dear life. And I'm afraid to even make it into a two-hand because I just need to keep hearing, it's okay, we're together, it's okay, we're together.
Yeah, well, but it'll be fascinating to see, right? Because again, if we go back to kind of what we were looking at with Anne, so let's say I'm with a young person, right? And they're afraid of something, right? And again, you know, even young kids have those voices in their head, there's a monster under the bed, there's a monster under the bed, right? And so I'm going to reassure her, it's okay, you know what? I'm right here with you. There's actually no monster. We can look together. See, there's no monster. But that's going to keep running in her head, right? So part of what's going to occur to me to do is, oh, you know what? We haven't read our bedtime story yet. Which bedtime story do you want to read? Because what I know as the grown-up is that if I can assist her to get her attention off that conversation about the monster, she's going to forget about the monster because there is no monster. The monster is only being created by the conversation in the head.
Right, because it's, you know, I call it that lions and tigers and bears are my place. And so it's lions and tigers and bears, oh my. But we're here together. That's all that matters. We're here together. But you're saying it could be lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Okay, right now we're, you know, raking leaves or petting the kitty or you mean like that?
Feeling the soft fur of the kitty and how much we love the kitty and, yep. I just projected it'll be interesting to play with that and to see what that's like.
Okay, what the hell?
Exactly. I've tried the other. And report back. You know, let us know what you see, because these are the kinds of things we're all exploring all the time.
Yeah, I'm just scared to get off that. It's okay, we're together, that's all that matters, reassurance, that feels like it's holding me together, but I can still just see about doing what you're saying.
Because it's not an either or, is it?
Right?
There can be that, again, if we go back to the monster, oh, but I think there's a monster on my bed. Well, let's check. Should we check again? Oh, no monster. It's completely all right. I'm right here with you. Hey, let's read that story.
Oh, okay, so it's more like it's okay, we're together, that's all that matters, in action for the present moment.
Yes, exactly. Right, and then
I like that.
Petting the kitty, and, yeah.
I like that. Thank you so much for a great suggestion. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for calling in, Elizabeth.
Okay, and thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. Another great conversation, Jen. And I loved that point you made about, you know, I hear the story, it's going to be awful. It's going to be awful in the future, right? But actually,
right.
It's awful now.
This is awful. I can tell you. This is awful.
Yeah, it's
terrible.
Awful right now, right?
So, and the funny part, of course, it isn't. You know, it really is like the monster. It's not awful. I'm just being told it's awful. What's actually happening is that I've got this adorable kitty on my lap who I love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And redirecting attention to here now, to the beautiful kitty.
Yep.
Lovely. Lovely. And Jen, we're going to take a break here and hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Jen, we have another caller here.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa from North Carolina.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, Jen. Hey, Michael. Well, I was put myself in the queue because I really wanted to just participate. And I guess also I was just looking at this. I've been noticing that, I've been noticing that there's just been a lot of resistance to, like, I've been hearing more what's dropping in, or it's been feeling like I hear more, like, what's now. And ego is really it feels like it's being very resistant to, like pulling out all the stops to stop me from doing those things.
Yeah.
So this is another...
It doesn't care for now, and it really doesn't care for when you're actually hearing what now.
So this was a, just a way to defy, or I don't know, go up against it, or whatever.
Ah,
I'm not sure exactly the best.
Yeah. In other words, just participating, putting yourself in the queue tonight, was a way to really basically say, okay, I'm not going with that. I'm not going with the. The resistance to now. It drops in to get in the radio show queue, so I do.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah,
and
I guess
so
what
it,
I...
Isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
Yeah. I was just saying that's so it. I mean, that's really all that's, quote, required of us. It drops in, we do it. Period.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and... Well, I guess one thing that occurred to me about that is how the not doing what drops in also really maintains the person who's not doing what drops in. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So not doing the thing that drops in maintains the person, the identity, we might say, who is not going to do the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and then it gets to be the ping pong ball of, well, you should, you shouldn't, or was that ego, or was that not, or, well, now it's too late, and so all of that. So, and it's just amazing just doing the thing, it's just done, and there isn't that person there.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a pleasure when that's available, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just, it's like magic. Wow, I can completely bypass that whole duality, that whole torture system that we've been talking about with other folks tonight.
Yeah.
Just, it drops in, I do it. Which is not to say that's always available to us, but it's lovely when it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It feels very much like a torture system.
Yeah.
I guess that's all for me tonight.
Very good. So there you are. It drops in. Put yourself in the queue. You do it. You get on the show. And you've not only have you supported supported yourself, we might say, in that practice. You know, sometimes we talk about reinforcing that groove, right?
Mm-hmm.
In really wanting to support yourself in, yeah, that's what I want to do. When it drops in, I want to do the thing. But you've also, in a sense, starved the circuit, if you will, of, no, I won't, you know, not today, or however that shows up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's starving. It does feel like lately I've really been feeding it, and so it's wonderful, to just starve it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lately it feels like you've been feeding the resistance that comes up?
Feeding the resistance, yeah. It's a time of year when I don't have, like, a real schedule, and so it's very easy to just, like, fiddle about.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, it feels like it's...
You know, I was thinking about that too as we were listening to folks tonight that, you know, this is an interesting time of year even in the rhythm of practice because it's the time of year where we're not with each other every single day on a radio show. And that can have an impact. And so, and to me, it's so good to see that, to see that that has an impact and to see what that impact is and to practice with exactly what you're doing, with seeing that that's happening and putting the support in place to assist myself with that.
That reminds me of something you said just a bit ago about, like, there's times when you can see that the stakes are really high and there's times when you can't really see it. And so this is the time where you're like, oh, yeah. I mean, during the year when, you know, we have the everyday calls, it's like, oh, getting on the call, Like, you can't, I can't see as clearly what that's doing. But now that it's not there, it's like, oh, wow, okay.
Boy, that's a great point. It's like anything. You know, fitness is a really concrete example of it.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm doing whatever I do for fitness every day. And once I'm fit, once I'm in good shape, that can really go unnoticed. Like, it doesn't, I mean, I'm not sore. I'm not, I'm doing fine. You know, my body's working. And so, but then if I stop doing it, then I'm going to realize, oh, that was having a huge impact. That was having a really big impact. But I couldn't feel it in the same way I could when I first started it.
That's lovely.
So here we are supporting ourselves through this.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks,
You're
Vanessa.
Welcome.
Yep. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Vanessa. And Jenna, I love that idea of it appears and I go with life's guidance. It's great.
Oh my gosh. It really saves so much drama.
Yes. Yes, it does. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller. You are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen and Michael. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hi,
hey,
Jeff.
Having a southeast evening.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny. The process I was just watching. So there's often a lot of fear about being unmuted. That happens, and you know, it's talking to me right now in sensations. So it's often about, you know, what am I going to talk about, you know, and am I going to say something really embarrassing and, you know, have to, in quotes, or really choose to talk about something that's not going to make me look good and all of that kind of thing, which is what I'm being, what it's, the sensations are telling me this is, that this falls into that category as well. I can feel
this is
going
to make you look terrible and,
Yeah, right, that this, this whole, like, this is really, you know, somehow shameful and horrible to say, or which it doesn't really seem like that to me, but that's all the...
Once I say it out loud, it sort of loses its believability.
But it's so funny to watch the process telling me that I'm the bad, wrong, horrible person that nobody likes. You know,
very
that's a, that's
like,
a sensation.
Like Elizabeth was saying, right? Even though
What's
we
that?
Know, we've been through it, even like what Elizabeth was saying. We've been through it a million times. We know it's not true, and yet it still talks to us about it.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's funny to have that identification that's happening, but then also, you know, also laughing at it at the same time. You know, So anyway, so that's pretty interesting. So. And so the next thing that does occur to talk about is something that that definitely that story is about, that this is not okay. Toward the end of the last calendar year, I just felt like, oh my gosh, there was just so many great things happening in practice, and I just I was just feeling so good and not all the time. I mean, in and out, especially with health things, would the fear around how things happening would, you know, would get me for a while. And then I just, it come into places of it making, you know, often making recordings where I would just, oh my gosh, you know, life is so, you know, it just, I love this about life, or, and I love this about life. And so that was kind of a lot of the experience toward the end of 2020. And a lot of what's going on right now is I'm tired, like really tired, not sleeping well, some of the time anyway. And I've got blurry eyes, and, you know, which makes working on the computer where distance learning, you know, I'm just, you know, by afternoon, I'm like, right. Makes me more tired. And then, you know, I've got a lot of fantasy going on, and just not seeming to, you know, be able to, or whatever, stay out of it. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to reflect back. So basically, just, sure. You know, coming out of 2020 at the end of that, the year, just, wow. I mean, so much amazing practice happening, and just feeling like you're in a place seeing so much, and just lots of recordings about what you love, and just a lot of beautiful happening in practice. And what's happening now, among other things, is that you're tired, not sleeping well. You know, there's scary stuff around, you know, voices around health and that kind of thing. And that you're finding that there's more attention pulled to fantasy and harder to bring it back in the midst of all
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and hearing that reflected, you know, having said that and hearing that reflected, I'm kind of back in the same place as at the beginning of the call, which is, you know, well, this doesn't seem like you're a really horrible person, you know.
Right. It sounds like a person doing awareness practice, living a human life, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Okay. Then it comes right back in, you know, with that story that, yeah, if I was the right awareness practitioner, I wouldn't be having this experience. I'd be having, you know, a different experience, and, you know, and it somehow is believable, because there's some belief in there that, you know, I should, for gosh sakes, not be, you know, caught in fantasy, and I should be, I mean, I'm just, you know, this stuff is just all, of course, conditioned stuff. But, you know, I should be able to, I don't know what, it's not even going to be specific with me here. I should somehow be able to feel better and blah, blah.
That's going to bust it. So, Jeff, let me ask you this. So when you're listening to Open Air and you're hearing other callers who are going through their version of what you're going through, and, you know, it comes back, and it's sometimes really hard to disidentify from it and to let it go, is that believable? Well, if they were just practicing, right, then they wouldn't be having that experience.
Yeah, that's, you know, it was kind of lightless. I saw that kind of thing for a little bit, what you're talking about right now, you know, for myself, and then the identification kind of got me again. So what I see in what you're talking about, and what I saw for myself as well, is, you know, I just saw it for a second again.
I love those places.
What's that?
I love those places, because to me, what you're talking about is the clarity is right there, and ego's just, the voices are going nuts to try to cover it over. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's I just see it for just a second. I'll just start talking and see, but it's that car. I don't know if this is quite it, but you know, karma is karma. And one of the things I've seen recently is that everything is part of the process of waking up.
That's right.
Everything.
Yeah.
And so this too, you know, okay. it's like I'm going in and out of seeing this, I think, and I feel like I'm mostly not seeing it, but that is that even this too, somehow, this too, every single experience, the health experiences, you know, the fantasy, the whatever, it, you know, it just, it goes up against all that stuff. I mean, touching my forehead, all those beliefs that are seem so strong to me that this can't possibly be it.
Right.
This can't possibly be it.
Yes. Yes. But what you're actually seeing is, actually, it is it. It has to be it.
Right. That's right. That's what I'm seeing here. And, you know, some of the time I'm seeing that. Yeah. And it's about unconditional love, too, because, you know, that's what I see, you know, I'm seeing now, which I really wasn't seeing, which is the, you know, just the, hey, I just love you, you know, I don't care, you know, that system will start to argue with it right away, but I don't care. If you spent the rest of your life caught up in fantasy, not that, you know, that's not our aspiration, fine. We'll be practicing, you know, something else. But, you know, I will absolutely love you just as much. I love you just as much. That
kind
of thing.
You know what, Jess? That is so perfect. It's exactly, we were talking earlier on the show about reassurance, right? And your point that I project, it's my favorite reassurance. I've heard many other people talk about it too. I love you exactly the way you are, and I want to help you be however you want to be. Because what that does is, you know, when ego has us in that dualistic conversation that everyone's been pointing at tonight, and the way you're pointing at it in specific for you is the fantasy. Oh, but I want to. It's so hard. I just want to go think about this. No, you can't. You shouldn't. If your practice was stronger, you wouldn't, right? And that's all ego. But in that unconditional love, in that, I love you exactly the way you are. So this is going on. Yes, it is going on. I love you. I love you no matter what. And it leaves space for, I actually don't want to live my life in fantasy. Not because it's wrong, not because it's bad, but because I miss the glory of the presence of here. So that reassurance covers all of that territory. You're not a bad person. I love you exactly how you are. As you say, if this went on for the rest of your life, I would love you. Oh, and how, oh, you'd like to practice bringing your attention back to the moment? I'm here. I'm available to assist you with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. My, I feel like my voice sounds different after listening to that. I mean, just, you know, it feels like disidentification I feel here. Wow.
And that happens when it happens. You know, so maybe you called into the show tonight and you saw what you saw and there's a disidentification and everything that came before that moment is part of it. It's not a mistake.
Yeah, great. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jen.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, it's such a great exploration.
It really is. And, you know, just... just kind of occurs to me that whole story about, you know, where I should be in my practice and all of that kind of thing. And just to be, conditioning doesn't know where anybody is with their practice anyway.
And it's the last place we'd want to look, right? And it's pretty much the only place that would ever think that that's an important thing to find out.
Yeah, right. And that it is a thing that, you know, that there is some kind of thing that's a meter, like, okay, here's where Jeff is his practice or something. So, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jen. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, thank you. Take care.
Thanks.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Another fabulous conversation, Jen. I don't know how these people do it. It's lovely.
Yes, you do, Michael.
And in the interest of time, I think we have time for at least one more caller here.
Perfect.
Okay. Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, it's I would be happy to do that. It's Janice from Victoria. And hi, Janet.
Hey, Janice.
Sangha.
Hi, Janice.
Yes, I want to know, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. There is a little bit of like sort of a blip, blip, blip. But if you can say some more and let me see how it sounds.
Well, I'm in a part of the house where sometimes the computer doesn't do too well. But I'm in a face down position for 5 days, day and night.
I missed the beginning of that. Something for 5 days and night?
Face down.
You're face down for 5 days and night.
Yes, I just started that yesterday. So I had a very big eye surgery and to get hopefully some vision back in one of my eyes. And
And so because of that, you need to be face down. Okay. And so you're in this part of your house where the signal's not as good. But you know what? We're getting enough of it, Janice, that I'm right with you.
Okay. Maybe I'll try and walk face down somewhere here. Wait a minute.
You're good.
I'll try
you're good.
A different room and see if that makes any difference. Now, is this any better?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yep.
Okay. You're all right. I'm still clicking. But I just wanted to say that I am so in love with practice that it's just been such a support. And I know that all of those things that I've already been practicing, all those platforms that, you know, I can't even see it. I can't even see what the time is and, you know, all the things on my computer, my other eye is not doing so well. I am still just going and saying, I know where that open air app is. I know where virtual meditation is.
Good for you.
You know, with the kickoff, I got that set up. And there's no reason, if I can't type right now, there's no reason why I can't listen and participate. So I just want to thank practice for all the offerings. It's it's unstoppable what is being offered, and I just have so much gratitude. That's really
it. It's unstoppable, Janice.
Unstoppable. Yeah.
So what I love about that is what a clear projection that is in what you're describing. Because, right, I mean, there are all these things that are, you know, different right now, right? I mean, you can't see in the way you normally see. You can't navigate in the way, you know, your time is all different. You've got to be in a different physical position, you know, all kinds of things. And the process you're describing is one of unstoppable. Okay, but I know where the app is. I can press on the app. You know, I know how to put myself in the queue. I can do that. So you're looking at where the conversation could be around what I can't do and why I can't do it. Instead, the orientation is what's possible.
Yeah. I was doing, you know, the email class right now. And I just listened a few more times to Sherry's instructions and questions for the second assignment. And, you know, I can make the recordings. I'm not very great at getting notes. When I sent in my assignment the other day, I had a whole 100 words I could have used, which I always maximize. And I realized it said I had used 47 words. Because it was so difficult to type it. And I thought, and it's enough. I don't need ego standards.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
I just love that. So 47 words is perfect for this response.
Yes.
That was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I love your other point of that in a situation like that, where, again, we know the suffering and the torture that could happen in a situation like this, and it's not happening, then that really does bring us to the gratitude for all the practice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because we know that's what facilitates it.
And yes, and let's see, now there's a couple of other things. One of the things is that because I'm it's like I'm incapacitated in some ways, but I've not been able to even drive for 6 months because of this. And, you know, and my husband had some pretty incredible health issues in October, November, December. My daughter went through something pretty incredible in December, January. And then all of a sudden, this patient person waiting, who just keeps phoning and saying, is there a cancellation? There was a cancellation. When it was a cancellation, they said, do you think you could take it? I just said, yes. I mean, it was like life got on board. I didn't know I was going to get everything set up for the help I needed, but I knew that life knew the right timing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. And so again, similar to what someone was talking about earlier, basically life says now, and you say great.
Yeah.
You know, again, the practice kicks in. There's so many things I project that kicked in there, Janice, right? So mm-hmm. you didn't start looking at, well, what is this and what about that and how's that going to work out? Uh-huh. Instead, there's right. just a yes, and I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to pan out, but it will.
Yeah, and I was even, you know, what even occurred to me is like, is not knowing is like a kind of knowing. It's just trusting, not knowing.
Yes, it is. Yes. It's so true. It's so true. The not knowing is a, it is. There's a sense of knowing that it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I don't know what the details of that will be. I don't know, you know, the logistics of all that, how it's all going to, you know, line up.
Mm.
But having that trust in life and knowing that we're adequate to it.
Yeah.
So many people have said, right, that I know that presence is with me, you know, however you want to say that I'm not alone through any of it, and I'll be okay.
And I really have to, it's really put me in a place of reaching out rather than saying, oh, this ego person, this independent person, I can do it on my own, because I actually can't. And I can reach out and say, could you please send metta? Could you please send healing? That, you know, this is something I really feel I need, and it's made me feel so connected and helped.
Oh, lovely. It's beautiful. Yep. Yeah. It takes us out of that illusion that I'm this me who's going to be independent and not need anything. And
yeah.
And what we realize is, oh, we need all the support we can get all the time. Yeah.
Yes. And I so feel I get it from this practice. So it's monumental. I love being an awareness practitioner full time.
Yeah. Me too, Janice.
Yeah.
And thanks for calling in. And what we can know is that Sangha is joining on that party of sending all that healing and good energy and all that we're sending everywhere around the world right now.
Yes, everywhere. We're all in Gesho.
We're all in Gesho. Well put.
Thank you, Jen. And
thank you for calling in tonight. Take really good care.
Thank you. Thanks, Sangha.
Gesho.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. These people are amazing, Jen.
These people are amazing. We should really be in a Sangha with them.
Yes, we should. It's a great Sangha, and I'm really grateful to be a part of it, and so grateful to have you and everyone else here with us tonight. It's a pleasure.
And you as well, Michael. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Jen.
Good night.
Good night.